Hi, and welcome back to another episode of FYI with Daniel and Glenda. I am your host, Daniel Scott.
And I'm his co-host, Glenda Walker.
And we have a wonderful episode in store for you today. It's all about business and relationships.
That's right. They can be so cliche. They can be so valuable. They can make or break your business.
And they can be very toxic, too.
Yes. But before we get into the next episode, we would like to just continuously thank you all for listening to the first two episodes and also, you know, giving us feedback and questions. And we did have a question that I want to mention from the last podcast with our two amazing guests. The question was, how long did it take for the businesses to show profitability?
Yeah, I'm going with 3 years on this.
So, yes, 3 years should be a standard. You know, the first few years you want to write off, you know, all your expenses, depending if you bought a lot of equipment, you're going to have losses, you know, those first 2 or 3 years. But in this situation, one of the guests said that it took 6 years before she saw profitability. And the reason is because, again, they had to buy a lot of assets and equipment and everything to run the plumbing company. So that strategy her accountant gave her was to, you know, go ahead and buy as much assets and equipment that you need and show the losses a little bit longer. And then after year six, they saw profits, and the profits have been going up since then.
You know, it's funny you bring this up because I'm actually consulting with a young lady who's starting a cleaning business. And I've been working with her these last couple of weeks, and that question has been coming up to me a lot about, you know, when should I start showing money? And I had a really good conversation with her about it because, you know, when you go into business or you start a business, your idea, you feel like, oh, you start thinking of all the great things. Well, I live in a city with 6 million people, and I know there's not that many people doing this, and there's not that many people doing that. And then your idea overshadows the reality of the situation, and then it could put you in a bad situation. So I told her that starting a business and running a business is like the race with the turtle and the hare.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's better to just go slow and steady and eventually work to that goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I wish her much success, but a lot of service-based businesses show profitability sooner because some of them don't have as much equipment and things to buy. You know, if it's a cleaning business, you're going to buy cleaning supplies, you're going to have gas to get to your clients, so you might show profitability early. But we'll talk more about that during the business series that we're going to have coming up really soon.
Absolutely, because you know we love to jump a gun here.
We sure do. And you know we love to get on task all the time. But
leave it to Daniel to take you down a rabbit hole.
All the time. So let's kind of get back into what today's topic is about. Going into business or doing business with family and friends and relationships. So you ready to talk about it?
Let's talk about it. All right. Well, guys, listen. I'm going to really divulge the tea on this this podcast because I have been witness to some horrendous business relationships that involved family.
Go ahead and get it out there.
Okay. So I'm right now working with someone who is in a relationship, our business relationship with a ex. They were together when they started the business, then they split up.
Okay, and so how long were they in business before they split up?
3 years.
Okay, so 3 years, that magic number,
yep,
3 years.
And the business is profitable.
Okay.
Okay, so now there was no business contract. Now, I'm going to go off on the little exit here, off this highway of storytelling, and tell you that no matter who you go into business with, you need to have a business contract. And you can get a business contract. Go to rocketlawyer.com. Remember, we're all about giving you the sites and the information on where to get this stuff. But rocketlawyer.com, a simple partnership contract. I know you love them.
Yes.
I know you go to bed with them.
Yes.
And I know they feed you. But
sometimes.
Have a partnership contract because you cannot predict the future.
You cannot.
So that's where they're at. And so they have split. The other person has gone off on their own to do something else. But now they're coming back going, I want these desks. I want these things. I want these. I want these. And the law has gotten involved, you know, so it's an embarrassment to the business because they've got the sheriff showing up. Wow. I'm telling you, OMG.
Gritty, y'all.
And y'all, I'm not lying. I mean, I am kind of sitting back just laughing because I'm like, you know, it is amusing to me. I watch every Real Housewives show, so I like drama. I like to watch it. I don't like to be involved in it, but I have enjoyed the show, I'm telling you.
So, wow. So this was a couple that started a business together.
Yeah.
Okay. The business has been around for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Were they married?
No, they were engaged.
Okay, so they were not married. They are no longer together. And it's like War of the Roses with the business.
It is. And you know what's crazy is the wife or the fiance's family was all involved. And the other person was like a lone wolf. So there's like this battle.
So everybody's ganging up on
other
person.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And all this could have been avoided, you know, with a contract.
Yes. So I guess going into business in a partnership is like picking a partner or a spouse or a significant other. Now, in this situation, they were already significant others and that didn't work. But when you're going into business with someone, it's just important. You have to look for those qualities that you look for in your personal relationship. And if there is turbulence in your personal relationship, why go into business with that person? I mean, let's think about it.
I know. Yeah, that's why I say I would.
Because I would safely assume that they had a rocky personal relationship anyway.
Yeah. Like, I would agree. I would definitely have loved to have been a fly on the wall at the kitchen table. I don't know. You know,
I would guess that, but.
And I really did want to ask y'all. I mean, I for those of you who really don't know me, but Glenn does, I tend to ask inappropriate questions. I don't know why I do that.
They're inappropriately necessary.
Yeah. And plus I like to know the tea. I'm not going to lie. Like if you are telling me a story and I'm enthralled by your story, I want the whole picture. Like I want everything. And sometimes.
He wants details, y'all. Details. All the details.
And my friends who really know me always will give me that look, and I know that I've gone, ooh, I shouldn't ask that. But sometimes my mouth works faster than my brain.
Well, that's okay. But, you know, getting back to the business side of it, so they did not have any kind of partnership agreement. So why that's important is because when the business goes to separate for whatever reason, that document will say how the assets of the business is divided.
Absolutely.
Almost similar to like a, what do you call that when people get married? Prenup. Almost like a prenup.
Yeah.
Even though most people don't sign a prenup, which is okay. You know, there's an opinion about that. But business is something totally different. So you definitely want to have a partnership agreement drawn up. And a succession agreement drawn up, because that'll let you know if the business, for some reason, if we need to go our separate ways, how much do I pay you to get out this business so I can keep my business going?
That's right.
Because you need to go ahead and keep it stepping and let me finish running my business and let me give you your check and be out.
And look, I ain't got ish, but you signing a prenup with me. You can have my debts, but you can't have my income.
Wow. But Daniel mentioned Rocket Lawyer. There's a whole bunch of websites out there.
Yeah.
That
because not everybody can afford an attorney.
Well, I'm going to give you guys one other two. So there's Rocket Lawyer, there's lawyer.com. There's a whole bunch of sites where you can go in. Those are just basic. Something is better than nothing, okay?
Right.
Something is better than nothing. Then there's also I retain an attorney by using Legal Shield.
Yes.
I'm not a Legal Shield rep. Disclaimer, but I retain an attorney for $50 a month for my business with Legal Shield, and it works fine for me. I don't need them all the time, but I may need them to review a contract. And they actually reviewed a contract for me, an NDA for me recently, and was like, don't sign it. You know, this is not in your best interest to sign it. So, you know, have something, have some kind of legal team or access to an attorney, or if all else fails, use one of those online sites for a contract.
And you know, speaking of that, I know a lot of people that are in business with successful business, long years of business, and they don't even have an attorney.
Yeah.
And listen, you know, even the smallest things can get you into trouble. So anytime you're putting a signature on something and you're not sure, it's always good to have somebody that you can send that to give you some legal advice or direction on whether or not you should put your name or whether or not you're jeopardizing your business at hand. I mean, I know a lot of people can't afford attorneys, yeah, but retainers really aren't that much for small businesses.
Yeah, and like we said, if you can't afford to retain an attorney, then use one of those sites. Just have something. Something is better than nothing.
Okay, so I'm sorry I took you on the exit. Let's get back to the relationships.
No. So the reason why this topic came up is because our fabulous guest last episode, Perito, mentioned how, you know, she and I developed, we had a personal relationship going on. We met through a mutual friend, and she had a need for her business. She was buying a building. Her bank wasn't responding as she thought they should have. And she took a chance and did business with me and was very happy with the services that I provided for her. But most people don't think that way. Most people don't think, oh, I know Glenda helps businesses get money. Let me go to her. And there's a couple of reasons. I received a phone call a week ago with someone that is looking to start a business. A franchise, their mutual friend, a friend of another friend. And she called the friend and the friend said, you know, call Glenda. And she called me, but she admitted to me that she hesitated with calling me because, number one, people don't want to divulge their personal information to people they know socially.
Right, right.
You know?
Because it's the fake it or make it.
Correct, mm-hmm. Correct. They don't want to divulge it. Some of them feel they're not in a financial or position that they want to be in. So sometimes they feel embarrassed. And those things limit, you know, your possibilities of having the support you need to, you know, fulfill your dreams.
Yeah, that's true.
And a friend of mine on his social media, he's in a mortgage business. He mentioned that a friend of his called him and was very embarrassed about their situation. They hadn't paid their mortgage in a while and was in jeopardy of losing their house. And this friend finally got up the courage to call him. And the guy was able to give him information to help him. So, you know, I think we got to try to get out of our pride.
Yeah. Yeah. Pride goes before the fall, right?
Right. Pride will take you. Ooh, it will take you through some stuff. But, you know, the moral of this particular story is that if the person that you are considering or has the sources for you and the information for you generally has good character, more than likely they're probably not going to share your personal information. They're not going to, you know, make you feel some type of way.
Right.
They're going to lead you down a path that's going to help you. When that young lady called me, I said, listen, I said, everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a situation. You know, the first step is making that call to get you into the next position, in the next phase in your life.
Right, right.
So,
you know, it's so funny. And that's why I always say your network is your net worth. Because those people who you know and surround yourself with are the value of what you become. Because, you listen, we are human. And usually we surround ourselves with people who are like us.
Right.
What makes us set ourselves apart is surrounding ourselves with people who are not always like us and who all give us challenges and therefore make us better people. You know, and speaking on that, just I'd like to say is what I run into a lot is I had someone sitting down at my desk who was asking me, do you have somebody? I'm trying to work through these COVID loans and these EIDL loans and all of this. Do you know somebody that does that? I said, yes. This woman sitting right next to me, Glenda Walker, contact her. That's what she does. She's been doing this for years. Look, Glenda has known me from when I was at the bottom, scratching on rocks, trying to find little breads of crumb to eat. And I've come up.
Yeah.
And
moving
she's
on up, moving on up.
She's been there through all of it. But I told them, I said, listen, she knows what she's doing. This is her business. This is her expertise. She's really good at what she does. Give her a call. So this person returns to my desk a few weeks later, and I said, did you give Glenda a call? No, not yet. okay, well, did you get your EIDL loan? No, I don't. I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to understand, you know, well, I've gotten paid this guy. And I'm like, so you came to me because you trust me. And I'm there giving you somebody that I trust. Obviously, I'm not going to refer somebody that I don't. And you still haven't called her? Why are you sitting in front of me? Like, right. Why are we here? I don't even want to have this conversation with you because it tells me that you have other things going on and you don't really trust me. You're saying you trust me, but you really don't because I'm giving you a valuable resource.
I didn't look at it like that, Daniel, as far as trust. Trust is a big factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I immediately thought he didn't call. He didn't really care about his business. That's what I thought. So that's one thing, too. He didn't care enough about his business to possibly use a resource that can get him some money to keep his business afloat. But the second thing is trust. Trust is a big thing.
What he found was a snake oil salesman. Uh-huh. He found somebody who was very good at selling a pitch but not able to follow through with the promise.
Wow.
And, you know, and that's what you have to watch
out
for.
But I also think that is a big factor in people doing business with friends and family as well.
Yeah.
Is the expectations. They don't want to be let down. So outside of the pride and everybody's particular financial situation and the divulging of personal information, it's expectations. Maybe they don't want to feel let down, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Well, again, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I don't waste my time with foolishness. And, you know, it does not serve me any purpose to just continue to charge somebody for something and they're not going to listen to me. So,
well, you know. Well, Daniel mentioned one thing. He mentioned referrals. And my phone rings often for, hey, Glenda, you know somebody that does this, does that. And I know a lot of people that do a lot of things. And I've referred him some people that turned out to be crappy, y'all. I mean, I keep it real. Turned out to be crappy. Now, they put on a good dog and pony show, you know, and I've been around them several times. And I, from what they gave me, you know, gave me the impression that they would do good business.
Yeah.
But Daniel called me. He was like, I ain't never calling nobody you give me anymore. I was like, what happened?
But, Lo, I will say you do the courtesy of giving me a disclaimer. I worked with this person, but
now.
I'm not 100% on
but
them.
But you taught me to do that. I do that now. So now when someone calls me for a referral for something, I say, yes, I have done business with this person before. They are fabulous. Or here's their weak spot. They're slow to respond, you know, but they're really good. But I wasn't doing that before.
Yeah.
You know, I would just give out the name and number and be like, here, call this person. But now I have to protect my integrity and my brand and not be the referrer of losers.
And I can honestly say that you're probably one of the very, very, very few people in my life that I would put my name on you. Like I would say, if I'm giving you Glenda Walker's name, you know, y'all can put it to the bank.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think people fear that their expectations are not going to be met sometimes with doing business with family and friends. But, you know, you got to get over that, you know, and I always see on social media that, you know, people will do business with a stranger before they do business with a family or a friend.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll support a stranger's. And I think that's true.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll support a stranger's business before supporting family and friends. And I think the few things that we just talked about is a reason why, outside of the crab in a barrel, you know, mentality.
Yeah.
But I think that's why. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm always amazed at how people ignore their family members or their friends that have such talent and are really trying to make it. And they really do put an effort towards it. And that person still doesn't support them. And I see it all the time. I mean, we see it all the time.
It's
amazing to me. It's like, you know, it's almost like this thing. It's like when we give advice, like we're giving advice through these episodes every single time we get on these mics. And people take what we say with a grain of salt, unless they really know us and they know that we know what we're talking about, because we know that we have to prove ourselves to the listeners who don't know us, right? But let Denzel Washington be sitting up in here telling you, this is the business you need to start. How many people will be running out here? And Denzel Washington is a great actor, but you know what I'm saying? It's like there is an attachment to the celebrity, and people go to those people for advice when it's like, ugh.
Well, yeah, it's weird because one of my, a good friend of mine, she sent me a message and it had like a conference, a business conference that about women bosses. And when I looked it up, it was all social media influencers, pretty much.
Yeah.
Some of them had businesses, some of them didn't. So I said, this looks nice, but, you know, I'm not going to pay money to get advice from a social media influencer. You know, I want a true business person, you know, a true somebody that's, you know, built their business on their brand and services and not being social media famous.
Right. And social media, looks, that is a business once it reaches a certain degree. But honestly, I mean, I will say this, like with my TikTok, I have 18,000 followers on my TikTok, but it happened on a fluke. Like, honestly.
You have how many followers?
18,000.
Okay.
And I can't, honestly,
TikTok famous, y'all.
But no, seriously, I don't know how it happened. Like, I can't tell you. I just enjoy creating the videos, but I can't tell you actually how it happened. I can't say this is the strategy. So that's kind of where I'm in with, because y'all know I love technology, and I'm very big on getting your business out there and being active on social media, because that is the trend. And that's how, but honestly, I don't know how a social media person, and that's their business, because you can make money off. I mean, I make money off the TikTok. It's not a lot, y'all. I'd probably go buy McDonald's, but I do make money when I post videos. So it's.
Well,
it can be lucrative.
I agree. But when I'm getting advice on how to run my business, I want it from someone that has built, and I don't want to use the word traditional because we got to be more open, but that has built a business based on hard work and not popularity. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And on a fluke. Because sometimes it is on a fluke. Like, you know, I mean, I know I'm going to get a lot of shade for this, but, you know, like Kim Kardashian has built an empire off of a sex tape. And that to me, you know, is a fluke. It's a fluke thing. I mean, it's
I think so many people behind her tried the same thing and it didn't work.
Right.
So yeah, it was a fluke.
I'm not knocking her businesses. I'm just saying that that's how it like the snowball started.
Look at her mom. Her mom is her manager and everybody's manager and business person and has made her whole family rich.
Yeah.
So she chose to trust her mom and do business with her mom. How many listeners would do that?
Right.
How many listeners will let your mom manage your affairs and book gigs for you and help you make money? Daniel's shaking his head.
I love you, mom.
But again, this still ties back to the overall topic is doing business with your family and friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have an opinion about that particular family. That's a family working relationship.
If
and
you
look
can't,
how successful it was.
If you can't separate personal and business, you don't need to go into business with family. Because
Agreed.
You have to be able to separate those feelings. Like if you can just battle in the office and walk out the door and go have a nice dinner and not discuss business, then you should do it. But if you can't, then, you know.
Listen, I used to have a manager like that, one of my first banking jobs. I could not stand this lady. She was on my behind all the time. That was back then. I appreciate her now because she made me the businesswoman I am. But we would go at it while we were in the office. And she had was in a car accident, so I would drive her home. Soon as we walked out the doors of that bank and we got in the car, we hee-hee-ha-ha laughing like nothing happened.
Wow.
But I could not stand her at work. Like, literally.
See, I would have slit her tires.
Well, her car was total. She ain't had no tires. So there you go.
I see. And that's why I wouldn't go into business with family because it's hard for me to do that. I mean, that's a weakness. And you want to find people that balance you. I'm seriously like if you don't want to have somebody with you that has the same weaknesses as you.
And that's a great point I was going to mention. Whether it's family, a friend, an associate that you guys decide to do a business with, I think each partner or each person needs to offset each other. You know, there needs to be what strengths and things do you bring to the table? What do your partner, your potential partner, business partner bring to the table? They should offset each other because everybody's not good at everything. Let's be clear.
Right.
You might be very knowledgeable. You can get it done and do it if you have to, but that doesn't mean you're going to be efficient and proficient at it.
Right.
Okay. So when you're choosing a business partner, choose somebody that can build off, that you both can build off of each other. Not one, you both can build off of each other.
And share the books, learn the books, understand the books. You know, if you have a partner that does all of the admin stuff, you need to sit down and learn what's going out, what's coming in.
And I would say, you know, that if they enjoy doing admin and that's their strength and that's the value that they bring to your business, then I would say maybe meet with them monthly or quarterly just to say, hey, where are we on this particular thing? I want to see on paper, kind of show me and tell me help me understand. Because again, everybody's not good at everything. You have operations, so people are more good at operations and doing the actual task.
Yeah.
And then you have other people that are good at the administrative.
So I every month I print out my profit and loss statement and sit down with my partners and go down it. And, you know, I have to explain all of my Longhorn purchases. Why did I go to lunch at Longhorn 6 times that month?
Because he was taking me 3 of them.
Right.
No, but it's very important. And it shows transparency. You want to be transparent. So even though your partner has trusted you to a particular task in the business and you've trusted your partner to a particular task, having that transparency just eliminates a lot of the issues.
It does.
That's business, personal, everything. It just eliminates a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, it does totally. I agree. And I mean, that's a good thing when you have somebody in there who balances you out, but then there's that trust. But it's not always the case. And yes, if someone loans you money to start your business, you don't have to always give up ownership in your business. I mean, if that person's going to loan you money to start your business and they don't know anything about your business, why make them an owner? You know, give them a small equity amount.
So Daniel just really kind of jumped the gun again and more about how funding your business, you know, different ways you can fund your business.
But I'm saying, though, like, well, a lot of people start with families.
Yeah, they start borrowing money from family.
Yep.
Hey, uncle, I need $10,000. Hey, auntie, I need $10,000. Treat that like a loan. You know, it may be longer than a typical bank loan, but you definitely want to have something on paper and documented that Auntie Jane provided you $10,000 for your business, and you're going to pay them back X amount of dollars over profit.
Yeah, Daniel taking exits again. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because it's all important, because people do go. And when you go to your family and friends for funding for your business, that's a relationship. That's a partnership, even if you didn't give them equity.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
So you still need to be discussing what's going on with your business so they can get paid.
So let me ask you, have you ever gone to business with a family member?
No, but I really crave it. I really want to.
Really?
I do. I want to, you know, you hear this generational wealth and leaving legacies. Mm-hmm. And if you look at a lot of the big, major, successful companies, it's a family business. It was started by someone in the family and everybody worked in it. I would love to have that.
Right.
I would love to. Again, it's dividing the personal things, you know, getting out of our personal heads and our pride with certain situations. But I would love to have a family-owned business, corporate business, and get all of my family involved, to my cousins and siblings and children. And that way, you know, I can leave a legacy. Now, that's in a perfect dreamy land world.
I want none of that.
I know that's, you know, it's, I'm not going to say it's not impossible, because anything is possible.
Yeah. Because the reason why I asked that, I have had the privilege of being in the presence of those types of families where we're talking of generational wealth. Right. I honestly see a lack of happiness. And that in itself kind of molded and changed me over the past 15 years being involved, because I was like, well, that just proved to me that I'm not going to spend every waking hour on my business and disregard life. Mm-hmm. So life became more of a priority and the business became a backseat to that. I'm still making my business very important, but my whole existence can't be around, you know, just the grind, the the grind.
Because where does it stop and where does it end?
Right, and you sacrifice relationships.
Yeah, you do.
You sacrifice those relationships with your family. And I think that's, we talked about this in the first episode about how millennials, I think, and have seen that. They kind of recognize that and they don't put business first.
Yes, yes. Well, I think, again, it's aligning, having aligned values, you know. I can't go to everybody in my family and say, come work for me. But there are a few that I can, that if I want to take the time to mold them, I can. But then it's also the expectations. Yeah. You know, am I expecting you to do presidential work or work from a CEO level and you've never worked a corporate job? No, I might need you to do file for me or answer my emails or answer my calls, which is all valuable. Mm-hmm. And it's time, you know, time sensitive. So I think we just have to figure out a way, because other cultures are doing it. Other cultures are doing it and are doing it well. I don't know in the Black community where we lost that disconnect. I'm sure we all have our theories, but I would love to do that. Now, it will probably take a lot more work than I'm willing to do right now. But that would be like a dream for me.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that. I mean, you have such a big family, and you guys are close-knit, so
yeah.
I can see it.
But I answered that question wrong. He asked me, have I ever been in business with family? And I said no, but that's not technically true. I have rented my rental properties to family in the past. It's an uphill battle. I did not take my own advice. So they don't have, the previous ones didn't have leases.
Wow.
So they didn't have leases. They were with me a couple years and then they just moved out. And I was stuck paying the next month's rent and trying to get other tenants. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to push for some tea here. Are you still talking to those family members?
Yes, we still talk because I got over it.
Okay. How long did it take you to get over it?
It took I know. Y'all see, I can't even answer that straight, right? I got over it. Now, at the position that I'm in, I would treat that transaction, again, like a business transaction and have a lease and have everything and collect a security deposit. Because that was a whole nother thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, so where I am now, and that was probably 10 years ago. Where I am today, I would do it totally different and have it, again, documented. Whether they're, you know, renting for me for a short period of time, you know, if they're on month to month, or if they want to, you know, sign a year lease, I'm going to document it, you know, properly.
So let me ask you this, speaking on that, do you feel like when you are the, I guess, quote, successful, unquote, one in the family, or you meet your expectations of business and acquire things that people admire and look, do you feel like that's a pressure within your family that be like, well, you're the one we're going to go to for this, and you're going to be the one we go to for that?
Yes, this is funny because I had a therapy session the other day. Yes, therapy. Then your eyes perked up. Yes, therapy is good for the soul, y'all.
I love
if you don't go to therapy, start going to therapy. Yes.
This is my therapy.
So I had a therapy session the other day, and we talked about how I'm the middle child, or somewhere in the middle, of seven kids, and I'm the one everybody kind of goes to for everything. And at first, it was a lot of pressure. But actually, I think it's a privilege.
Yeah.
And it's an honor that when you have family, and it's not money, y'all. They're not coming to me for money because they know I'm not giving no money.
She made that clear.
I'm not giving no money.
She actually turned to the mic, y'all, and was like,
so
I'm not giving
it's not about money. They're coming to me for life advice, you know, business advice, things like that. So I accept that as an honor now. I didn't accept it before. I felt that it was pressure. Like at one time, you know, around this 10-year point when I was, you know, renting a house to family, I wanted to run away. I was like, this is too much. But nobody knew that because I kind of have that persona, like everything is good. I wanted to run away. I was stressed and I was fighting it. But now I've come to accept that I'm that person and it's a privilege. You know, it's an honor.
Right.
You know, I see it as a badge, you know. And does it get Does it get overwhelming sometimes? Yes. But who else are they going to go to? I'd rather them come to me.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'd rather them come to me because I'm going to, I have their best interests at heart versus them going to their friend on the street that heard something, that heard something, that heard something, that heard something, and give them the wrong information.
Yeah, see, I'm scared to do all that because I'm scared it opens the door to more. So
you just got to set the boundaries.
Yeah, I'm not good with boundaries.
You just got to set the boundaries.
Yeah, don't call me.
So, I'd rather you know. Yeah, so we touched on a few situations from rental property with, you know, partners going in business together. The main thing so far is having your paperwork together.
Yeah, because there's no reason. I mean, I'm going to say it again. There's no reason why you can't, because there's a lot of places out there that you can get the simplest things and it'll protect you. I mean, it's not the greatest, but when you got to have it in a pinch, it will definitely work. And have it notarized.
Yeah, so having your paperwork together, knowing that person's character, you know, if it warrants an additional discussion about providing them services or, you know, utilizing their services or, you know, going into business with them. Again, this is a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have a story that has a lot of tea, we want you on our show because we want to hear the drama.
Daniel wants all the tea, y'all. He wants all the tea.
Yeah, I want you to come and share it and get real personal. And we're going to, you know, put you in the hot seat and ask you a whole lot of deep, dark questions.
Oh, my goodness. But again, so Perito last week mentioned, you know, the real nuts and gravy about that was the relationships. You know, you can develop some great relationships with your circle, with your friends, with your family, with your associates.
Even with customers. Look, guys, the success of my business has been built off the relationships with my customers. I can honestly say this. Since I've been in business, all of my customers, well, 90% of my customers have become friends.
Yeah.
And
that's because Daniel be all up in their business, y'all.
I do.
I say that you're all up in their business, but no, you're getting to know your clients.
Right, absolutely.
And my husband kind of looks at me weird sometimes because I be hee-hee-ha-haing on the phone with my clients, even when I was at the bank. I got to know them. You know, I knew their children's names, you know. I knew some of their likes and dislikes, you know. We really connected. And before, a lot of times, we even did business together. It was, you know, lunches and phone calls, and that was that building that rapport, you know, developing that relationship before we actually started even doing business together.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you build that relationship, people do business with people they trust.
And they like.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. And I've spent holidays with customers. Well, they're friends, but I'm saying customers because I want to give you an idea what it – how far
customers
it's gone.
But turned friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gone on trips, like vacations with people that were customers and became friends. I mean, it's – so I really do – you know, I really put a lot of emphasis on that, that relationship building with your customer base, because it never hurts to know your customer. And I think that's one thing we're lacking now is the small business has kind of been overshadowed by all of the quick accessibility.
The immediate gratification.
Yeah.
There's no immediate gratification.
And you know, you're not dealing a lot with a small business owner when you can go on Amazon.com or places like that. You know, that the whole small business thing is fading away. So when you do have that opportunity to have that face-to-face with a small business owner,
it's see, nice. I still like that because
totally.
Even, you know, we're coming out of this pandemic. Everything is kind of almost pretty much 90%, 95% back to normal, except for Atlanta. We've always been back to normal.
Yeah.
but I, you know, I got a referral from a CPA, and this particular business was looking for some funding. So I said, hey, I would love to come out and meet you and see your business. And they were like, what? I was like, yeah, I want to come out and meet you and see your business, see how your business operates. And they were just so shocked. They were like, people don't come to our office to do business. And I put the contract in front of them to sign, and they signed it right away.
That's
so, yeah, I could have had a phone call Phone call was great. Actually, we did have one phone call, and I followed it up with an in-person appointment. Right. So don't forget the value of, you know, meeting your clients and meeting prospects and things like that, and meeting your potential business partners.
Absolutely.
Date them, you know? Date your potential
That's
business
right.
partner.
That's what you're doing.
Why not? Y'all should have some kind of courting.
Yeah.
Then dating, and then hopefully you get to the marriage, which is the business.
That's what our next business plan should be, a Tinder for business partners.
Look at a Tinder for business partners. Look at that. Huh? We might have to coin that. Why you say that? So we, yes, but no.
We'll have our engineer Preston cut that out. So yeah.
No, but it is a relationship, and it should happen that way.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and no, like just like when you go into a relationship, you start talking about, you know, the sexual past and financial past. You need to talk about your financial past with your business partner. Know
yes.
what kind of businesses they've been doing.
Oh, my God,
know
y'all. Listen. Oh, I've had a couple of credit requests that one partner didn't know that the other partner's credit score was in the 500s. They thinking everything is hunky-dory, and I go back to them and say, this loan was declined. They're like, why was it declined? Well, such and such score is 5-something, and they got a foreclosure or something-something on their credit. Do you know how awkward that is?
Awkward.
And you know how pissed the other partner was? But they shouldn't be pissed because they never asked. They always assumed. Yeah. The person came up with the money to start the business, so they assumed that they were good financially as far as credit. Now, credit, that's something temporary. It can be fixed, but it was a big shocker for that partner because they didn't know, and they were counting on that money to fund their next, you know, major project with the business.
Right. And look, I understand things happen. Life is life. You know, we've all been there.
Shit happens, y'all.
Yeah, I've been there. My credit score in the beginning was not great at all. And it's because I didn't know how to manage money in the early days. And that's really, I made a lot of mistakes. I learned from my mistakes. But, you know, that's what a bad credit score reflects. It's mismanagement of money. And, I mean, I know people are like, well, you know, you got to take, a lot of people take offense to that when you say it. But it is the truth. And that's, because your credit score reflects how you've managed your money.
It's a pattern. It reflects.
It
reflects.
But you can
pattern.
Come out of it. That's the
Absolutely.
Great thing.
Yeah, like I said, it's temporary. You know, if you want it to be forever, you'll continue those behaviors that make it forever. But if you want it to be temporary, it's temporary.
Look, the unfair laws that are in place to keep people down and to keep poor people, that's a whole other podcast. But I agree with all of that. But I'm just saying, though, know your business partners.
Y'all. System.
Right, you got to work with what you got to work with what we got now, and that's unfortunate. But that is a case. You got to know.
Yeah, well, you guys, I'm the queen of recap. I was told, like, I give a good recap of everything. So I kind of want to recap everybody on this discussion because we kind of were a little bit all over the place. So, the topic was, you know, doing business with your family and friends, meaning buying their product or service. Or going into business
yeah.
with a partnership with family and friends. So one of the first things we mentioned was get it in writing.
That's right. Get a contract.
Get a contract. Don't be water roses with your partner.
Right.
Where y'all trying to kill each other and steal money and assets and things like that from the business.
Know your business partner.
Know Financials. Your business partner. Financials. Ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Date them.
Absolutely.
For a while, you know, a little bit. You know.
And make them take you somewhere good, not
yes.
McDonald's. If they rolling up in Raleigh's or rolling up at, you know, Chick-fil-A, maybe that's not the business.
Ain't not wrong with Chick-fil-A now. A little Chick-fil-A every now and then don't hurt.
Not for a date.
So, you know, get to know your prospective business partner, whether they're, and we think we know everything about family. We don't know everything about our family.
Right.
You know,
because how many of y'all know people? How many people do you know that lives by the motto "fake it till you make it"?
Now I hate that. Fake it till you make it. Just make it.
Yeah.
Like get the fake out. Just make it.
But I mean, that's the society we live in. You know.
But if somebody gives you that fake it till you make it, you need to run the other way.
Yeah.
Red flag.
If y'all see me driving around in a Bentley, I'm faking it.
But Daniel would not buy a Bentley, y'all.
I wouldn't. But
I even think if he was a multimillionaire, you know, well off. I don't even think he would buy a Bentley. No. So he's very low key.
I'd probably buy a Nissan.
right. That's what the millionaire next door. You'll be the millionaire next door.
There you go.
So date your prospective business partner. Get to know them. Build that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen to our podcast.
And listen to our podcast.
Because we're always going to give you the good stuff about, and the bad stuff, about opening a business and starting a business.
Yeah.
So that's gonna wrap it up. We are so excited that this was our third episode. I mean, we are really...
Three down, y'all.
Yeah, we're gearing up. And, you know, I'm not even going to tell you what our next podcast is because you need to tune in to listen.
Tune in.
But... thank you as always. Make sure, please, I know I say this at the end of every podcast, and you've probably already cut me off by now, but make sure you follow us, like us, and subscribe. And it's Daniel and Glenda on every platform, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and our website is www.danielandglenda.com. Please leave us some feedback, some questions, because we need stuff to talk. We want to hear from you and know that we are on the right path and telling you things that you really find that are valuable.
Exactly, y'all.
And you can text one of us because, you know, we'll share it with the other one.
It's funny. I'm going off on a tangent, but it's funny to get the texts from the mothers and the mother-in-laws. Our family is so opinionated. It's so funny. It just makes me laugh. My mother goes, "Oh, that plumbing lady is out of sight." I said, I just laugh, but no, we love it, y'all. Just so,
we really do.
You know, our friends and family that are texting and calling us and giving us your insight, we love it. Please keep it coming. Yes. And if you're not that close to us to have that access to us, make comments on our social media page.
Yeah, hit us up on the inbox, DM me. But yeah, no, but we do. We appreciate it. It's an hour that we know you're giving to our podcast to listen, and we really do appreciate it.
All righty, y'all. So it's been a pleasure. Just, you know, we're going to keep y'all wondering about the next episode, but all we right. look forward to providing good information and entertaining you.
And next time we'll come through and let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. We'll be right back.